Well, Kerri-Ann Ford was a typical 26-year-old, living life happily, going to parties and having fun. And like any other 26-year-old, she thought herself immune to many diseases that would typically affect an older person. So when she felt that lump in her breast one day, she didn't really panic. But she did do what you're advised to do should you feel a lump in your breast, and she headed to the doctor.
He was like, not really anything to worry about. Young girls get these all the time, something called fibroadenoma. And I was like, okay, cool. But I told him, well, I just want him to see a surgeon, to be on his service, if there's a way that he can have it tested just to make sure. Because, you know, you see the ads on television all the time and stuff like that. But that was just a part of my mind was saying that. And a part of my mind just went with the confidence that, young people don't get cancer. Breast cancer happens when you're 40 and stuff like that.
Now, her doctor at the time assured her that he'd make the necessary arrangements so she could have a biopsy done. And so she waited.
1 week passed, he never got back to me. 2 weeks passed. Then another lump came up within the armpit area, but this one seemed to be growing every day. God hate seemed to be getting bigger and bigger. So I was like, you know what? Then one afternoon, I was at work, and this sharp pain, whatever I had in my hand, I dropped it because the pain was like really immense. So I dropped the tray, and this lady was like, I don't like how that sounds because my mom died from breast cancer. And so then the fear started to build up in there that, you know, well, this could be something. And I remember going to the hospital, the section where the pregnant people go, and I went in there and I asked if I could see somebody, a gynecologist or somebody like that. And I went and I saw Dr. Natasha Archer, and she asked me how can she assist me, and I told her. She said, okay, well, give her a minute. And she went on the phone and she called, and the person was like telling her what to do. So she got a needle and she injected it into the breast, but nothing came from it. So she was like, okay, but let me just make another phone call to be on the safe side. And she called and she was like, but I really would like you to look at Miss Ford for me, blah, blah, blah. So then she was like, she asked me if I can arrange the following Tuesday to go and see the surgeons. So that's when I went over to the surgeons, and they asked me my family history, if anybody had breast cancer, if a whole family history, and everything was like, no, 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 no.
Well, eventually arrangements were made for Kerri-Ann to have the biopsy. She recalled that Friday afternoon vividly. She was awake for the entire procedure.
So, like, when the surgeons were doing the biopsy, one of them kept saying all the time, he don't like how the breasts look. But the other surgeon was like, but don't keep cutting all the time, because there's a young lady we're dealing with, and you don't want that one breast is big and one breast is small. So he was saying, but I don't like how it look. So then after the surgery and stuff like that, they had the tissues that they removed was like on the table in a tray. So I just looked at it and then just left, went long back my merry way. Oh, cancer don't happen to young people. That was my thing. Still not even thinking about breast cancer. So after that, the surgeon told me he was to meet back in like 2 weeks time, because that's how the results take. And he was to meet back in 2 weeks time just to see how the scars are healing, stuff like that there. And I remember that day, like it was just yesterday. It was the 1st of April 2009. I went to the ward just to have the scars look at to see if they were healing good and stuff like that. And I went, he examined the scars, he told me everything was good. And with the scars, but then he told me, have a seat. And another doctor came in within then, and we had a seat. And he was like, Miss Ford, I got back your results. Had to get them tested over numerous times because I myself could not believe it. But unfortunately, you have breast cancer. And from there on, I just phased out. Everything just went in a blur, and I just went quiet. And then, like, they called in a nurse, and she tried to, like, thank me. And my first words were, I want my mommy. Call my mommy.
She had gone alone. Kerri-Ann had believed that this was all a mere precaution, but there she was being told that at 26 years old, she had stage 2 breast cancer. Suddenly, what had seemed almost impossible to her had now become her stark reality. Her mother was called to the hospital and broke down even before she got the news.
My mom, up to now, she didn't know what was going on. But she came and she was crying and crying. They were holding her and stuff like that there. And then when she came, the doctors came and they were saying, Mom, you could, and they told her your daughter has breast cancer. And they spoke to us and stuff like that there. After we left, we went home. And basically, I just went in my room for that day. Family members were coming all day crying and stuff like that there. Everybody. But I just wanted to be alone. I just wanted to digest what was just said to me and just have a moment to, like, really get to understand what was just told to me.
Some would have spiraled into depression. Others might have gone the route of denial. Carrie-Anne explained that she struggled with her thoughts for a long while that afternoon.
The television always says 40 years old for mammograms, way, like 26 and stuff like that. But I just laid on my in my bed that day and I just thought about it. And it was like, Carrie-Anne, you got to be strong. And then another part was saying, oh, cancer kills you. Because basically, I guess, what I set up myself, because honestly, to me, until now, there wasn't any real information that you was getting basically about cancer of any sort. All you hear is, oh, breast cancer, you die. That's cancer, death. Those were like the two words that always came together, cancer and death. So I tell myself it's either you had to fight or you had to let it consume me. And the following week, we met with my surgeon, Dr. Warren, and he was like, we have some decisions to make. We have some tough choices to make, but they have something that have to be done, and they want to do them as quick as possible because they believe that this is a life that they can save. So it was my mom, my cousin, my boyfriend at the time, and myself. We went, they tell us the options that we have either lumpectomy, mastectomy, chemotherapy, radiation. The lumpectomy, he said, was okay, but for a younger person, they prefer to go with the mastectomy because sometimes in younger people, the cancer tends to be more aggressive. So we discussed that. And then he said he would give me some time to make the decision. I was like, I don't really need the time for the decision, though. I made up my mind I'm going to remove the breast. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I sure. Because if I could be saved, I won't make the, I won't necessarily say the right choices, but I want to go a road that I know I will be able to fight as long as I can.
Now, despite the dangers associated with breast cancer, there are still those who cannot bear the idea of having a breast removed. Now, a lumpectomy was an option she could have chosen, and in doing so, kept her breast. However, she explained that her decision was carefully thought out, and her own personal research was a key to helping her make the decision.
Between the time of the diagnosis and the time of the, to see the doctor, I was like online checking out a lot of things, like just googling all different types of things, and the highest survival rate I saw and the better chances were with the mastectomy. And then I also asked the surgeon to be completely honest with me what he think I should do, but I had already gathered a lot of information about the mastectomy, because the lumpectomy, you're basically just removing that lump and tissues around it. But with the mastectomy, you take off the complete breast and you go into the armpit to get some of the lymph nodes as well. So that I went to the doctor's office, my mind was basically made up, but I just wanted him to clarify certain things with me.
Well, while she had her mother on her side and there were family and friends who supported her, there were those, well-intentioned as they were, who made her breast cancer diagnosis even scarier than it had to be.
sometimes people pressure you, like if you decide that you may go the chemo route. I had pressure from friends and family members who wanted me to go the herbalist route. So then they put people to call me and tell me, like, I remember time a herbalist called me and tell me, oh, the people at the hospital doing this and doing that, and the chemo is going to kill you. And that scared the life out of me. I basically broke down and cried. And my mom was like, well, that phone call was just about where you at. And they said, this gentleman called me, and he was thinking, but that was done through a family member, and that was really scary. So, but I had already decided that I would go the chemo route, and I wanted everybody to just support me in the decision that I chose.
Well, we'll take a break here, but when we return, you'll hear some more from the lion-hearted Carrie Ann Ford and how she fought her battle with breast cancer.
Welcome back. Well, What's Up recently had the opportunity to chat with breast cancer survivor Carrie Ann Ford. At the age of 26, she found out she had breast cancer. Surgeons explained that hers was a life they believed could be saved, but they had to move quickly. So Carrie Ann made a decision. She believed it was the best one.
I had a mastectomy then. It was one at a time because the cancer was in the left breast. That's when they found the lump, and it was stage 2. So I went in. I was supposed to go the Friday morning early to admit myself, but then space became available, so they told me I admit myself the Thursday afternoon. So I had to go to the hospital and admit myself. And never being in the hospital to stay apart from when I was born, that was very scary. Remember, my mom took me, and I didn't want her to leave. I cried from the time I got there to the time that admitted me. Cried the whole night, cried the morning for the surgery, because it was scary, because you knew to, not new to it, because any diagnosis is a new one, but you'd be like,
this is a whole new world for you.
Yeah,
brand new experience.
So the Thursday evening, the surgeon came, he talked to me the procedures, stuff like that. He notified me of every injection I supposed to get, any pill that I supposed to take. If not aware of something, let them know. He let me know what I was supposed to be having, because he said really blood transfusion wanted to be the furthest thing that he want to do in case if anything happens. So he just let him know what hand to put the IV in, stuff like that, the normal thing. Then they went on the Friday morning early, and around 7 o'clock I went in, because I remember the last thing Kong came down and looking at the clock, it was 8 minutes, and then after that it was low. And then when I awoke, I had a mastectomy done, and that was the beginning of a fight for survival. Went to the ward, but the good thing about it was released the very next day, because I was strong enough. I went through everything, no complications. And the Saturday morning, the doctor came and told me that I could go home, and that was like exciting. Had the drain attached and stuff like that, and had to still go home and still, in a way, still figure out certain things.
Surgery completed, she had to then face the dreaded chemotherapy. However, she admitted to us that she set herself up for it to be far worse than it turned out to be.
It wasn't as scary as what people put it over. Because my first set of chemo, I was like, okay. I thought people would say that chemo has got you really down on thing. My first set was okay. The second set was kind of okay, but the third set was the one that had me like trying to fight. And by the fourth set, it was all over. The fourth set was the worst, but the chemo basically lasts in your body like a week span. They give you medication for the first 3 days to kind of smooth it out. By the fourth day, sometimes you may be vomiting or stuff like that. By the fifth day, you may be a little woozy, but then by the sixth day, sometimes you're back up. And you're preparing yourself for the next round. You go, you get your checks to make sure your blood is good. And basically, sometimes for some people, and for me, chemo was like a walk through the park. I was never hospitalized throughout it all and stuff like that. I went through two sets of chemo. The first one was one called AC. The second set was one called Taxol. And then from there, I went to 15 days of radiation. And so basically, I started in 2009 and finished in 2010, March.
Finally, months after receiving her diagnosis, it seemed as though she had indeed beaten the dreaded disease. But Carrie-Anne wasn't about to take this new lease on life for granted. And so in 2011, she made another brave decision.
One day I was just sitting, having some me time, some quiet time. And it was like, girl, everything going so good now. You know, you don't want that another couple of months or a couple of weeks or a year down the line. Now you feel another lump in that breast to then go through the same thing all over again. So it was like, you know what, let me just remove it, get that out the way. I went to the surgeons are there. I called and asked if they could come in and see me, tell me no problem. And he told him what he wanted to do. And he said, no problem. We're here to make you happy and to improve your life as much as we can. And I just decided to have the surgery and have it removed.
Our What's Up Outlook today features breast cancer survivor Carrie-Anne Ford. When we return, you'll hear how she found love after her battle for life.
Well, welcome back. Today we're featuring breast cancer survivor Carrie-Anne Ford. At 26 years of age, she found out that she had stage 2 breast cancer. But rather than cringing in fear, she battled and won. She had a mastectomy done on the left breast where the cancer was initially found. And later, as a precautionary measure, she went under the surgeon's knife once more to remove her right breast. Carrie-Anne had been through a lot, but it wasn't only cancer she had had to battle. She'd also broken up with her boyfriend who she'd been seeing at the time she was diagnosed. It seems he wasn't really able to handle all that was happening. Following the breakup, Carrie-Anne told us she took some much-needed me time. However, she also admitted that her thoughts often strayed to how she would ever approach dating again.
In my head, I was saying that I don't know how I'm going to go about this. Saying no, you might meet somebody new and then you got to tell them, well, you don't have any breasts and stuff like that. So at first, some negative thoughts used to always creep in when you're trying to move above with the positive thoughts. So that was a bit challenging. So it just made me keep it on the down low for a little bit. Yeah, you meet people, stuff like that. Sometimes people don't have a clue what's going on, because you look basically, as they say, normal. So then, but then if you find that person and you find yourself talking to them and getting attached to them and stuff like that, then it always comes up, you know, if it's going to move forward. You have to be completely honest. You can't bring, because you know, when a man meet a woman, he's expecting everything that a woman should have. So that was a bit scary at first. Was talking to someone at first, but that didn't go too far because the fear then came around. But I guess at that point in time, that was not what it was supposed to be. But then I met someone else and we started conversating a lot, talking. We talked for a very long time before we actually met in person. We was talking over social media, and then every time we were supposed to meet, that something will always mess it up. But then eventually one night it was raining and he took me home from work and we just sat on the car, in the car outside, and talked. He picked me up around 9 from work, and when I catch myself, it was like after 12 because the conversations were just flowing. So then we started dating, like going on one or two dates and stuff like that. And then one day, I think it was over the phone or in a message, I told him, well, he had known about the cancer. I had told him about the cancer before. And then I told him, well, I have a mastectomy, and double mastectomy, because I had to remove the first breast in 2009, and then in 2011, I removed the other breast, just as a measure that it wasn't
precautionary.
Right. So after, I told him I had a double mastectomy, and he was like, what was a double mastectomy? And I was like, you serious? He was like, yeah, it was a double mastectomy. I was like, I don't have any breasts. And he was like, okay. And then we keep on conversation. And then after he put on the phone, I was like, basically, I set up myself again because I wasn't looking for him to call back. And then the messages remained the same. The calling remained the same. And it was like, okay then, let's see where this go. We went on dates, held my hand. Everything was like basically the same. And then it was like, but you understood what I told you. He was like, yeah, but that's just one of those things that happened. That's not you. I know the person that you are. So I was like, okay, cool. And then I would always bring up the question and stuff like that and ask him, you sure? And he was like, and this is basically over 2 years and we're still dating. Yes, I have my scary moments because sometimes I still ask him if he's comfortable, if he's comfortable, if it's not strange having a girlfriend that when she's at home, she just look flat chest, and when she's out, she got a like, and then he was like, but that's not you though. The breast doesn't make you. So I was like, so no, I don't even ask the question because he's comfortable with it. And I tell him if it's at any point he doesn't understand certain things or stuff like that, just ask me. But he has become like a big support. He's always said he's my biggest fan. So he said that despite that, I have ladies out there who have the whole products, but their mentality, their fight for survival, the courage, the strength, all that still doesn't match you or any other survivor out there because y'all have a different lease on life. Y'all know what it is to fight. Y'all know what it is to be down. Y'all don't know. And they always go with this song that I had saw a survivor have post on Facebook. You don't know my story. You don't know the trials that I've come through. And from the time I heard that song, I went on YouTube and I looked it up and I downloaded it. And I always try to listen to it constantly, every day, because it was a long journey. And even the surgeon told me on my last review, you fought and you fought so hard. Because look, it's almost 6 years.
6 years now and counting, Carrie Ann truly is an inspiration. At 26, she took on the battle with cancer with a grace and wisdom beyond her years at the time. Now at 32 years of age, she intends to live life to the fullest. Some might have remained consumed with asking, why did this happen to me? Or why did I have to lose my breast? Carrie Ann took a different road.
I never asked. As much as I say, yes, young people aren't supposed to get breast cancer and stuff like that, I never asked God, why me, why this, why that, why the third? Because I remember a time I went to church and one of the gentlemen at church told me one day you're going to have a marvelous testimony and I believe there's no coming to light. So I never once like went in the mirror, going in front of the mirror saying, why me, why this? As I say, and I tell my co-workers, I tell other young ladies that I try to talk to, my scars are just a battle that I fought. And it's a battle that I fought for life and for survival. So at the end of the day, people have scars or have other things to remind them of other things. But my scars is the fight that I'm carrying on. And I'm not only fighting for me, I'm fighting for every other. I tell my co-workers constantly, I already had a diagnosis already. I already been diagnosed, but I pray every night for the lady who's going to go tomorrow and be diagnosed and not be as strong as I am to, you know, to go through and or not have the kind of support that you need to go through it. Because trust me, cancer is scary.
As scary as it is, though, she is adamant that you can get through it. For any woman, particularly one who would have believed she was far too young to get cancer, Carrie Ann has some sage advice.
First thing first, don't ever see it as a death sentence. It's just the beginning of a trying journey. So if you go out to the doctor and get a diagnosis of breast cancer, please don't set up yourself. Listen, ask questions. If you want to do your own research, do your own research. If you want to have 3, 4, 5, 6 different opinions, that is your choice. But do not set up yourself because you can't beat this. And let me, though you can't see me but you can hear my voice, just let, I hope that my story will be an inspiration to others, and I hope it will be living proof that you can beat this. And I know there are survivors out there who are longer than I am, and you know, just let it be living proof that you can beat cancer. Yes, there will be complications sometimes along the line, but you can beat it with the right mindset and stuff like that, and the support team, because you always need a support team. You can get through it.
As it relates to one's interaction with those providing health care, she maintained that you can never ask too many questions.
I used to go right now because I don't want you to use big doctor words with me. I want you to tell me it in
layman's language.
Yeah, what is going on? Because when you tell me all these big doctor words, then I go home and I try to rack my brain with it, and I find sometimes people leave the doctor's office with these big words but don't know in simple terms what's really going on with them. So I used to tell them, like, if they call a big word, I used to, like, can you break it down? Or for any time I leave there, I going home and I checking out. People say, yeah, that might be paranoia, but it's not paranoia, it's you finding out what is going on with you.
In terms of handling the negativity that might come your way because of how you chose to wage your battle with cancer, she had this to say.
First thing first, I prayed about it. I just asked the Almighty to let His will be done, and that whatever negative force He has come in my, that the devil has plot for me, I want Him to remove them. I also told people what my decisions are. I told them I already made a decision to go with the chemo, and I want to go that way. I told it to my uncle that was pushing the herbs at me. I told him, no disrespect, but let me do what I have already decided to do. So basically, I just told them, well, let me do what I have to do.
Now, Carrie Ann didn't just have words of wisdom for people now reeling from such a diagnosis. She also had some for family and friends of anyone now embarking on this journey.
Let them be like the stronghold of their own decisions. As much as, yes, you want to be there for them and you want to support them, if they say they want to do chemo, support them. If they want to do herbs, support them. If they want to have a lumpectomy, support them. If they want to have the mastectomy, support them. If they don't want to do anything, still support them at the end of the day. Don't go throwing negativities and frightening image into their head. At the end of the day, they each have the right to choose what they want to do. So no matter if they do or don't do, just support them.
Well, we were able to connect with Carrie Ann via Cancer Support Services, and she explained that they've been a tremendous help to her throughout this entire journey.
I presently take a medication, who I tremendously thank the Cancer Support Services for their help throughout this all, because I was introduced to the Cancer Support Services by a lady named Tara Gibson, who told me about then. And one day I went and I spoke to John Linton, who heads the organization, and we spoke, we got to know each other and stuff like there. And they told me, at any point if I need anything, don't ever hesitate to come and ask, stuff like that. And they always help you as much as they can. They provide vouchers sometimes, and they always try to help you with your medication. And there's a group there called the Victorious Ladies, which I'm a member of. I don't get to go to the meetings as much as I can, but I always try to do things as much. I have spoken at 2 lectures so far. Sorry, 2 conferences that they have. I spoke the first time about my diagnosis and stuff like that. And earlier this year, I spoke about, like, how the journey is going.
Carrie Ann said her journey with cancer taught her how to be true to herself and how to love herself.
I could, like, not that I couldn't do it before, but I could go to work sometimes. I could go to work without no makeup on, and some persons would just say, you look plain today, and I'd be like, okay, thank you. Or, you're not having a good hair day, and they'd be like, okay, thank you. So it makes me accept me for who I really am. Not worrying about what Peter think about me, what Lisa thinks about me. I see me for who I am.
Well, that was 32-year-old Carrie-Anne Ford, a young woman who was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was only 26 years old and ended up having a double mastectomy, the first to save her life and the other as a precaution to avoid the reoccurrence of the disease. We salute her bravery through her battle and her courage to share her story, and in so doing, encourage and inspire another woman to fight for her life, to be secure in her femininity, and even to find love again.